live in someone else's mind. This is the thought for today. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capitol, California, with thought for today. Live in someone else's mind. Dogs are terrible. Dogs are utterly terrible. Dogs are just so terrible. We have all heard the song, "I Can't Get Enough of That Wonderful Stuff." Dogs can never get enough of petting. They come and stand next to you. They put their head under your hand. They want to be petted. They want to be loved. They want to be appreciated. They want to be given attention. But you see, when you live in someone else's mind, someone else will say, "Why are you giving so much attention to the dog? You know, why don't you give attention to some other things that are important too? Why are you doing all those things with your pet? And you should be doing things with your work and stuff." Well, I used to be a very outgoing, loving person. And I used to tell everybody how much I love them. And I used to hug everybody. And I used to say to everybody, "I love you, I love you, I love you." I used to do all those things, and then I started to live in someone else's mind. And people would say to me, "You're a hypocrite. You don't really mean you love me. You are hugging me to get something from me. You're giving me your attention to get something from me. You're trying to do this or that because you just want to get something from me." And I say, "Yeah, that's true. I want to get you to take my love, to take my appreciation for you, my delight in you." "No, no, no, there's something more than that." Well, I used to tell my employees, "I love you. You're doing a wonderful job. I appreciate everything you're doing." And then you know what they started doing? They started thinking that they were superior to the others. They thought they were getting more attention than the others, and so they acted like they were the boss over the others. And so I had to start giving love to the others in their presence. So they saw that I gave love to everybody and told everybody, "You're doing a fine job." And then if they were upset about something, they'd say, "Well, you're just saying that because you want to get my attention. You want to control me." I said, "Yeah, that's true. I want to control you. I want you to have a very loving life and a very loving attitude, and I want you to be happy." "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's easy for you to say that. It's easy for you to do that." And you see, when we live in someone else's mind, we're living in perhaps the greatest garbage heap in the world. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,000, we have no idea what's going on in the other person's mind. We have no idea what sort of problems they're having, what sort of anxiety they have with themselves, what sort of feelings of lack of self-worth they have in themselves. So, if you live in someone else's mind, you're not going to get anywhere. So I stopped living in someone else's mind. This morning, I woke up, I got up, and sat down at my computer, and then I put my head in my hand, sort of fell asleep. So I laid back in my bed. My hand was hanging out of my bed, and my dog, big old golden retriever Rex, he comes over, and he starts playing with my hand. He starts licking my hand, and he starts bobbing my hand around like a toy. And of course, then I pulled it in. But then I looked over. There he was laying next to the bed. Then I heard the doggy door go. He went outside. Then he came in, and he was at the head of my bed. He was just everywhere where I was. I went to the bathroom. He was sitting at my feet. Went to my desk. He was sitting at my feet. And I thought to myself, man, if we could all love so genuinely, so wonderfully, so without any ulterior attitude, except that love is our nature as it is his nature. No. Everything he did was love. He lays on his back and just wiggles his head and stretches himself and says, I like me. I like me. How many of you have laid down recently on the floor and just scratched your back on the floor and just wiggled your hands straight out and your feet straight out and said, oh, I like me. Or even standing up saying it. And I say, none of you. None of you. And how many of you expose your genitals to the world and say, I like me, nothing can happen to me. I am untouchable. I love you all. I believe in you all, you know? How many of you have done that recently? Probably none. But the point is, be flamboyant. Be flamboyant. And if people don't like it, too bad. Too bad. Do you like it? Then do it. Be flamboyant. Be outgoing in every wonderful, dynamic, beautiful way that expresses how fantastic you are. Love. Because that's your nature to love. And if something comes up where someone says something unkind, they need love. So give them love. Give them a big hug. This morning, I walked into the breakfast room, and here I was faced by four gorgeous women, you know. Now, I don't know what they really look like. I have no idea what they really look like because I only saw gorgeous women in my eyes. I only saw beautiful women. And so with each woman, I know you want some love. With each woman, I gave them a hug and a back rub. And they said, can I make an appointment? Keep it up, you know. Now, here is the interesting situation here. Here is the very interesting situation. My four gorgeous women love to have their back rubbed, love to have their shoulders rubbed and just loosen them all up, but not one, not one returned it. Or have they returned it over the years? I've never asked for it. But not one felt that what felt so good for them might feel good for somebody else. Now, I have these four gorgeous women, and I give them a hug. We have our om together. And in the om, we say our om. And after the om, we hug each other and kiss each other right on the mouth. With a real sincere kiss, not a gushy kiss or a French kiss or anything like that, but a real nice sincere kiss. But when I hug them and they hug me, they put their arms around my back or my shoulders, whatever they can reach, and hug. I usually give them a little rub or a tight snuggle, but I have never seen them do it to each other. I have never seen them do it to each other, and I pay close attention. Now, it's not a matter of judging. It's just a matter of saying, my goodness gracious sakes alive. Here, each one of them could have five hugs in the morning, and they satisfy themselves with one. How very wasteful of the energy that's available, you know? Now, you don't know Gregor, Esther, but we know Gregor. And Gregor comes into our house here, which is his house too. And when he walks in this house, he immediately falls on the floor. Can you imagine that? Big 6-foot-something kid falling on the floor. And all the dogs and cats run up to him and snuggle him and huggle him, and he returns the gift. And he plays with them and loves them and talks to them, and they think he's just the greatest guy in the world. Now, why is it just Gregor that does that? Is Gregor the only one that's lovable? Is Gregor the only one that knows how to appreciate a dog and a cat? Well, the dogs and the cats love him too. They snuggle him, they get into his arms, they cuddle around him. They think he's just wonderful, you know? Now, why do they think he's wonderful? Because he cares about them. Now, if we care about our pets, we would get down and huggle and snuggle them. We would play with them. When's the last time that you laid on the floor and just let the dogs and cats run over the top of you? Ellen says, yeah, I do that all the time. So, think about it. Think about it. You have one of the greatest privileges and pleasures in the world of playing with your pets, and even if they're not your pets. I keep going back to the veterinarian where I had Rex the other day, and I went in to get his rabies tag and his license. And when I walked in there, I saw this gorgeous, gorgeous golden retriever. He looked young and dynamic and powerful and delightful. Perfect coat of hair. Perfect. Then she opened her mouth and she had a perfect set of teeth. Every tooth clean as a snissel and just beautiful to look at. And then I said to her owner, I said, what a wonderful lap dog you have there. And he said, lap dog is right, you know. And I said, my dog, I have a retriever too, he's 5 weeks, 5 months old. And he said, 5 months? This girl here is 20 years old. And 20 years for a dog of any breed is pretty good. Now, I missed the opportunity, but I know what it is. I should have said to them, to what do you attribute her wonderful age and her wonderful life? And you know what they would have told me? First on the list would have been what?
Love.
You got the message. First on the list would have been love. Next would have been nurturing, caring, and all that sort of good stuff, you know? So this is what we do. This is what we do. We love our pets. We snuggle them. We let them suck on our fingers and chew on our fingers. When's the last time you let another person chew on your finger? No, really. Really. Do lovers even chew on each other's fingers? They nibble on each other's ears and fingers and some? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we do it with each other? Just show our affection. I was in Nigeria, and I was taken to at least about 8 or 10 different schools, and every school the kids were just loving me to pieces, and so I would try to get out of there. You know, all the teachers and all the students and our hosts who brought us there, I told them, you know, they told me we got to go. So I was trying to extract myself from these kids. And so the only way to extract myself was to kiss each one of them on the hand. Give them a hand kiss, you know, a hand kiss. And then back away and back away. And then the teachers came in. They wanted a hand kiss too. You know, everybody wanted a hand kiss. They all wanted to have some attention, you know. And this is a beautiful thing. We don't realize how a simple little thing can mean so much to people, you know. We should really begin to be concerned about that. Loving is a wonderful thing. Yes, Rex, you're very loving. And when you are loving, Rex, you put out your tender paws. And when you are playing, you put out your claws. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. Okay. So, do you recognize when someone is being facetious with you? When someone is being mean to you, when someone is being hurtful to you, when someone is trying to take something that belongs to you, do you recognize that? If you recognize that, you empower it. I was telling Ellen about, don't do that. Your claws are sharp, kid. I was telling Ellen about that story we read from the Minneapolis Catholic Church. The manse was next to the church, and the priest was coming down the stairs in the manse, and he saw this burglar with his bag picking up the jewelry, not jewelry, you know, the beautiful vestments, the golden candlesticks and silver candlesticks and all these things, you know, picking them up. And as he was picking these things up, he was going to steal them, you know, take them home with him. He was going to sell them, make some money. No. He's going to make some money. Now, the priest came down and said, "Well, what are you doing?" And the guy said, "I'm robbing you." And the priest said, "Oh, everything belongs to God. Take what you like." And the burglar thought to himself, "My God, what kind of a world is this? I mean, I'm a burglar. I steal people's things from people, and they shouldn't like that. What's going on here?" And he ran to the police department and turned himself in. And later, after he serves his jail sentence, his name was Star Daly, he wrote a book, and he told the story in the book. But you see, it all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. And if someone wants to do us evil, and we treat them with saying, "Go right ahead. Go right ahead." And I say, "Ellen, your hair looks terrible." And Ellen says, "Oh, thank you, Herb. How do you think I could improve it?" And you see, that's agreeing with your adversary quickly. What can I do? Can I say, "Right, your hair is really terrible, your hair is really bad"? I've already lost. I've been diffused. All of the power, all of the hurtfulness that I wanted to give to Ellen is lost. You see, when we are the masters, no one can hurt us. No one can pull our chain. No one can make us feel badly. When we are the masters, if someone wants to steal from us, we say, "Go right ahead. What can we do anyhow? What can we do anyhow?" Say, "Go right ahead. If you want to take that, go right ahead." And no more discussion, no more saying, "That was my baby, that was for my wife, that was something very special, you're stealing." No, go right ahead with your whole heart and say, "Take it." And then what will happen? What happens is they don't take it. What happens is they stop being mean and hateful to you. They stop hurting you. But do you have the brain, the wisdom, to treat a person like that? You see, it says here, live in someone else's mind. You're living in someone else's mind, but you don't understand. Like the Negro spiritual, "Nobody knows the troubles I've seen," you know. You don't understand. Well, we don't need to understand. When people call and want treatment here from us practitioners, we say, "Please don't tell us the problem, tell us the solution. What would you like to experience?" And so then they tell us what they'd like to experience, and we empower what they would like to experience. And when we empower it, then great things happen to them. It's open. Great things happen to them, and they have a wonderful time. But what do you want to empower? Do you want to empower love by hugging people? Do you want to empower love by kissing people? It doesn't have to be sex, you know. If you kiss another person, they know if it's sex or not. You know if it's sex or not. And if it's not, fine. If it is, fine. But the point is, whatever is on your mind, whatever is in your heart, is what they interpret. They know exactly how you feel and what you want. And if they can hurt you so easily by stomping on your heart, then you deserve to be hurt. But if they stomp on your heart and you merely turn over and say, "Hey, do what you wish. You're in charge. What do they say? You don't kick a dead horse, and you don't hurt an imbecile. And they think that anyone who agrees with their adversary is an imbecile. That's okay. But who is the imbecile? The adversary. Because they're trying to make trouble with someone who's untouched, someone who's one-pointed, someone who's unpossessed and non-judgmental, someone who is unconditionally loving. Are you able to be unconditionally loving? Are you able to live your life in such a way that nothing can touch you? Unless it is joy, harmony, peace, goodness, happiness, health. You see, when those things touch you, I'd say that's good. But don't let anything touch you other than what you want to be touched by. And when you do that, great things happen to you. Live in someone else's mind? Stupid thing to do, isn't it? Live in your own mind, be yourself, and remember, on the way from the Hermitage to the monastery is maybe a quarter of a mile or so. And as I walk that quarter of a mile with Rex, Rex hears the terms, I love you, you're wonderful, you're a good boy, you're fantastic, I love you, good boy, good boy, good boy. He goes potty, good boy, good boy. He walks close to my side, good boy, good boy. Once in a while I say no, but very seldom. It's becoming more and more seldom. And good boy is what he knows. Good boy is what he believes. Now, a lot of people say that's overkill. Well, I like it. And Rex likes it. Now, if you are ready to be overkilled, you just tell me by accepting what I say to you in the way that I'm giving it. When I say I love you, I don't mean, oh, are you passionate, wonderful being? I say, hey, I love you. You're a super person. You're a good boy. You're a good girl. You know, like I say to my dog Rex. And that's great. So just remember now, when I say you're good, you're good. I was teaching Esther how to drive, and Esther made a couple turns that were not good, and I said, no, 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 no. And then she made most of the turns perfect. And I said, good girl, good girl, good Esther. That's good, that's good. Now, why did I talk like that to Esther? Because her English is not as broad as it might be, and so to communicate between us, I had to use terms, basically, that she knew and that I knew. And I had to make sure they were terms that I agreed with and that she agreed with. And so it was very simple, very easy terms. And this you can do, too, for yourself. You can say, good foot, good foot, good foot, good tummy, good tummy. If your tummy's not feeling too good, just say, good tummy. If you got a headache, good head, good head. Sure, laugh, go ahead. It works. It works. Because your tummy and your head are not intellectual geniuses looking to be sponsored by intellectualism. They are just the feeling, sensation, listening to you and what you say. So, you know what to do now. So have a good day. And know, I love you, 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 I love you. And never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Never get enough of that wonderful stuff.